Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part one of Building God's Temple as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Paul is beginning his corrective ministry to the Corinthian church. As we pointed out, it's primarily a corrective epistle. And he starts with really dealing with the issues of division in the church that were rooted in their pride and their love for human wisdom. And we saw how Paul has been reminding them that God is not impressed with man's wisdom. And they shouldn't be impressed either. And how the Lord has worked in such a way through the gospel to destroy the wisdom of man through the cross. And how Paul, remember, he said that he was determined among them not to know anything except Christ crucified. He didn't want their faith to be in the wisdom of men or in human cleverness or rooted in human charisma or personality. He wanted their faith to be firmly rooted in the power of the gospel that transforms lives. And he is telling them, you know, they're all impressed with human wisdom. Paul says, there's a wisdom that's far greater than human wisdom. It's God's wisdom. And we speak that wisdom, but we speak it in a mystery. And then he went on to talk about how the natural man doesn't receive, though, the things of the Spirit. But then he said, but the spiritual man has the mind of Christ. Now, Paul's desire, God's desire for us, is that we be spiritual people. And that was Paul's heart for the Corinthians, and that's why he's correcting them. But now he goes on to say to them, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So Paul really, you know, with everything in him, he wishes that they were spiritual. They thought they were spiritual. They thought they were super spiritual. They thought they were more spiritual than Paul at this point. You know, he wasn't that great of a speaker, and he didn't seem to really be connected with all that philosophy and all that. So they were sort of looking down upon Paul a little bit, and they were actually thinking themselves spiritually superior to him and to others. But Paul says, well, actually, the case is, it's not that you're spiritual. The problem is you're carnal. You're babes in Christ. Now, the word carnal, it means, the word literally means of the flesh. So they were of the flesh. They were, their whole thinking on all of this was fleshly. It was thinking just like everybody else thinks, who doesn't have the Spirit. And so he says to them, you're carnal, and then he says, you're babes in Christ. Now, there's been some debate among Christians as to whether there could even be such a thing as a carnal Christian. And some very adamantly have said, no, that's a complete contradiction. It's not possible. If you're carnal, you're not a Christian. Paul doesn't seem to think that. He says they're in Christ. And of course, that is what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who's in Christ. But he says they're babes in Christ. The problem isn't that they're not believers. The problem isn't that they're not actually saved. The problem is they're not behaving like saved people. And this is a reality that is an unpleasant one in the church, is that, you know, people can really be saved, but then In certain areas, their behavior is inconsistent with their profession and with the reality of what's happened in their life, the conversion that's taken place. So if that's the case, then that shows an immaturity, and God is not going to let us stay in that immature state. He's going to bring us out of that because he wants us to be mature, and he wants that to be the case in our lives totally. He wants there to be a fullness of maturity in our lives. And so he says to them, he says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. So, you know, as you kind of read between the lines here, Paul's responding to things that they were saying about him. They're saying, oh, Paul, you know, he just gives us this milky stuff. You know, he's not like those others. Remember, they were really enamored with the philosophers. They were enamored with those who were real capable in their ability to speak cleverly. There was no substance necessarily in what they were saying, but they said it really well. These guys were super impressed with that. And so they would say about Paul that, well, you know, his message is, you know, they're weak. They're kind of milky. Paul says, well, the fact of the matter is, I fed you with milk and not with solid food because you were not able to receive it. Now, what's the difference between milk and solid food? I read today in a commentary, and I thought this was a great way to look at it. The difference is not in kind, but the difference is in degree. There's no solid food or this other spirituality that only a few people attain to. It's the same message all the way through, but those who are immature, those who are weak, they can only take small portions of the truth. God wants us to receive the fullness of the truth as we grow in him. So it's not there's different kinds, but it's just different degrees. So, of course, when a person is a babe in Christ, and let's be clear about this, there is a time to be a babe in Christ, and that's when you are a babe. When you're a new believer, God doesn't expect you to be fully mature at that point, but he does expect you to grow. The problem with the Corinthians is not that they were merely babes. It was that they should have been further along, that they should have grown up, and they were behaving like spiritual children. So it was an arrested development. They hadn't progressed as they should have. When a person first comes to the Lord, of course, as a babe in Christ, they're going to feed on the milk. Peter actually, that's the terminology he uses. He says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow by it. But there comes a point when it's time to move off of the milk and go to more solid food. The epistle to the Hebrews addresses this as well. Maybe you remember reading through there and in the fourth chapter there, where the author's talking about it's going into the sixth chapter, actually. You know, he's talking about, he says, now, by this time, you ought to be teachers of the word. There at the end of the fifth chapter, he says, but you need someone to teach you again the elementary principles of the doctrines of Christ, and you have become those who need milk rather than solid food. So the problem there was that they had gone backwards. He said, for solid food, that's for the strong. That's for the ones that are growing. And that's what God desires, is that we grow and we get weaned off of the milk, and then we're able to receive greater portions of the truth and assimilate that into our lives. Now, here's where Paul points out the manifestation of their carnality. He says, for you are still carnal, verse 3, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So there's envy or jealousy, he says. There's strife or contentions, and that has led to divisions or factions. So first of all, it starts in the mind. There's the jealousy, there's the envy. of others and their blessings or their giftings or whatever it might be. And then that turns into kind of an open contention. And then the open contention eventually leads to factions, to divisions. Now, this kind of thing has plagued the church from the earliest days, from the Corinthian period, the apostolic period. These kinds of things have been the plague of the church, one of the plagues. And we're not freed from it today. We still have today those who, through envy, strife, they cause division. And, of course, quite often they would like us to think and believe that they're doing this because of their greater spirituality. But the fact of the matter is they are carnal. They're of the flesh. This kind of thing is of the flesh. And then he goes on and he gives the example. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal or are you not of the flesh? That's the flesh. When we start, you know, preferring one leader over another, and it's not just preferring one leader over another, but then what we seem to have to do is we have to vilify the others, you know. If we exalt one, then we've got to bring down the other. And, you know, there are people who just thrive on this. There are people who live to do this in the body of Christ. It's unbelievable. They write blogs. They're all over the internet. You can, I'm not suggesting that you do this, but, you know, you could go on the internet and you could just find tons and tons of this kind of rubbish where people are just trashing leaders all the time. And, you know, exalting ones and vilifying and demonizing others. And some people, this is just what they thrive on. This is, they just live to do this. And the crazy thing is they think God's called them to do it. They will tell you, God's called them to expose sin in the body. God's called them to a discernment ministry. And they're going to tell everybody how wrong everybody else is. And of course, everybody's wrong except them. They really need to get a life. They're just sitting around and, you know, they've never done anything substantial for the Lord, but they can criticize everybody else who has done. I think of these weird people that show up at the Harvest Crusade and picket out there. You know, they're protesting Greg, Lori, because they say, oh, Greg doesn't really preach the gospel. Really? Greg doesn't preach the gospel? Give me a break. And you know, you ask, well, how many people have you preached the gospel to? Well, brother, I don't want to interfere with the elect. You know, I'm not, that's not my job. My job is just to criticize those who do. And it's absolutely nuts. But this is the climate that we're in today. And what does it tell us about these people? Well, here's the one thing you can know right up front. It's plain and simple. It's declared right here. They're carnal. They're in the flesh. They're not in the spirit. The Lord isn't into dividing his church. Carnal people want to divide the church. The Lord is into unity. Not unity at the sake of truth, of course not. But unity around the essential doctrines of the Christian faith. And unity needs to go and be extended out to people that we don't agree with on all the finer points of doctrine. But, you know, as we've said many times before, there are doctrinal issues that are essential, meaning you've got to hold to these to be Christians. And there are non-essentials, meaning, you know, these are to some degree just differences of opinion about how things work or you know, how God does things. And we should, as Paul said, endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We should be looking to be in unity with our brothers and sisters who hold to the truth of the gospel, who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who believe that God is triune, who believe that Christ died for the sins of the world, that he rose again from the dead, that he is, you know, coming again to set up his kingdom. We need to recognize that those are our people. That's our family. Those are our brothers and sisters. And they might hold different views on things that aren't essential, but we just, in love, we kind of can just get over that. You know, we don't agree with each other on everything all the time. It's okay. We don't have to. God help us, though, not to get caught up in that vicious cycle of gossip and slander. And, you know, it's like a disease. It really, you know, I've just seen people, it just takes over their lives and it consumes them. And it destroys them. And they're attempting to destroy others, but in the process, they're destroying themselves. It's carnality. That's what was happening in Corinth. Paul says, some of you say I'm of Paul, another I am of Apollos. He says, you're carnal. You're in the flesh. Who then is Paul? You know, look at Paul. I mean, he's just, you know, these guys are wanting to put him up on a pedestal. He's going, no, I'm not going to let you do it. I'm not going to let you compare me with Apollos. I'm not going to let you prefer me over Apollos. Paul's not buying into any of this stuff at all. And as people in ministry, as leaders, we should never buy into that. Because people will come along and they'll try to do that thing. They'll want to compare you with somebody else. Oh, that guy, you know, I don't like that. Well, but you, oh, you're the... Yeah, watch out for those people. Because they'll be sticking a big old knife in your back before it's all over. You got to really watch out. But Paul's not going for it. He's not buying any of it. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. Paul says, look, I am what I am because God gave me the gift to do this, but the same is true with Apollos. And then he says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. You know, if we get a mentality that we want to be responsible for everything. No, I want to plant and I want to water and I want to give the increase. And that's all about me. And as we've pointed out before, this is not about me. It's not about you. It's not about any one person except Jesus. That's who it's about. And so we have to recognize that we are in this together. We're working together. We're on a team. It's a team effort. No one person can do what needs to be done in the ministry. We need people to plant. We need people to water. We need people to water more. We need people to pull the weeds. We need cultivation. We need all of this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, God's the one who's going to cause it to grow. But we thank God for those who are doing things. You know, over the years, pastoring for many years, and we would have people that would leave the church. Inevitably, they, you know, would maybe head on down the road and it was time to move on or whatever. And living in a small community, I would quite often meet those people in places and it could be an awkward moment. But, you know, you have to learn that God uses different people in people's lives at different seasons. And so God led them on and they found another place and they got blessed. And, you know, we rejoice in that. Thank God. And we shouldn't be like jealous of other churches or other ministries or seeing ourselves in competition with them. We should be praising the Lord that there are other churches in our community that are doing the right thing, that they're preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God. We rejoice in that. We're thankful for that. We want to encourage that. We don't want to discourage that because it's a team effort. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. See again, these guys were carnal and they were looking at people and they were elevating men and they were guilty of idolatry. You know, we can become idolatrous in regard to this, and this is what we have to watch out for. It's easy to look at spiritual leaders and to, you know, kind of put them up on a pedestal and sort of start to delusionally think that they're perfect and, you know, kind of get into just a sort of a weird type of a worship of people. It happens all the time. Now, God forbid that the person in the position would cater to that sort of a thing, But, you know, people have to realize that's wrong. Paul the Apostle, I mean, he's just laying it out very clearly here. He says, neither he who plants or he who waters is anything. We're nothing. We're just people. You know, we live in an idolatrous culture. And it's idolatrous in the sense that we worship all different kinds of things in our culture, don't we? And much of the time we worship people. We worship people in certain positions that we are impressed by. And we've got this idolatrous thing going. This happens in the church as well. People come in and then they start idolizing the leaders in the churches. And this is wrong. We have to really be careful. I mean, obviously, the Bible teaches that there's to be a respect for spiritual authority. That's a good thing. But it has to be kept in check. It has to be balanced out. We have to realize that, you know, just because a guy's up in a pulpit, he's not God. And he's not always right about everything. And I'm the guy in the pulpit telling you that. So, you know, because you see, what'll happen is if you start thinking the wrong thing, like we're perfect, and then the moment we show an imperfection, you're really stumbled. Well, you're stumbled because you had the wrong idea in the first place. So we have to get away from pastor idolatry. I think we've got a bit of that in our culture today. And Paul would have nothing of that. He said, Apollos and I were nothing. God is the one who matters. Now, verse 8, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's the thing we've got to remember. We're one. He who plants and he who waters is one. Again, Paul's saying, look, Apollos and I, we're one. Don't try to divide us. Don't try to get groups rallied around us. No, we're not having it. We're one. And that's the attitude that the leader needs to take as we look at other people that God's using. You know, we're all made of flesh, and we all battle with fleshly tendencies. We all battle with temptation to be jealous and things like that. And, you know, sometimes, and preachers that are honest will admit this, you know, when you see God blessing some other ministry, sometimes it's a little tough. You think, well, Lord, what about my ministry? Years ago in London, back in the 1800s, there were a lot of great preachers at this certain period in British history. But one of the most well-known preachers of all time is a man named Charles Spurgeon. And Spurgeon just had this amazing ministry in South London. And multitudes and multitudes and multitudes were brought to faith through his ministry and attended his church. And, you know, literally every Sunday, thousands of people gathered to hear Spurgeon preach the gospel. And there was another man who pastored a church that wasn't all that far away. And he became a fairly well-known person in church history as well. And during that period, his name was F.B., his last name was Meyer, F.B. Meyer. We know him, Frederick something Meyer. And Meyer, in his, you know, honesty, he shared the struggle that he had in seeing the blessing on Spurgeon's ministry and the seeming lack of abundance in his own ministry. So it's a thing that it's natural for us to struggle with those things sometimes, but struggle is what we need to do. We don't want to give in to it. We don't want to give in to that temptation because we are one. We're not competing with each other.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson, as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Building God's Temple, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Building God's Temple, or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0189, Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBrodersen and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBrodersen. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628. And please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.